Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our Man of the Booth, Booth Bad Prime.
Booth Bad Prime!
Oh, amazing. And guys, what a crazy week. What a crazy week for pop culture and the comic books and everything.
And the comic books?
Of course. One of the
Are you like
things.
An old-timey comic books reporter
yeah,
all of a sudden?
I time travel to the 1920s.
What's the hot scoop, Zalbin?
Well, I'll tell you. Penny farthings are the hot scoop. They're the hot toy that everybody's played with. Picked up some Captain America Civil War penny farthings, rolled them with my stick.
I don't know what you're talking
about. It's the hoop stick game thing.
Oh, right.
That's a penny farthing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry. Because your kid's name is Penny, and then I didn't know, like, so I was lost.
Yeah.
I was like, are you talking about your kid?
I like to play this game.
You push your kid.
Yeah, I rolled my daughter with a stick.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
What?
You push your kid down a hill or something?
Oh, this is totally unrelated. Stay away from my children.
Okay, all right. Yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, pretty cool. How are you doing? How's everything going? Have you been enjoying Fear the Walking Dead on AMC, Pete?
No, I'm not. I have not. Not even a little bit.
It's a great show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Because the last season was awful.
No, it wasn't. It was really good.
Wait.
So
are you talking about zombies in water?
Oh, no. Okay, so here's the thing. They split up the season into two halves. There was the first half of the season, which was set on the water, and that was zombies on the water.
Right, and that was awful. We can both agree on that, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Okay, thank you.
The second half of the season, they're on land. They're in Tijuana having a terrible vacation. Like, probably the second worst Tijuana vacation of all time.
Wow. What's the worst?
I don't know, but it involves like a donkey and some stuff. I don't want to get into it.
Okay.
But yeah, some of them are at a hotel, and the big difference is instead of zombies being on the water, last episode they threw a bunch of zombies into the water, so it's a whole different ballgame. It's great.
You have really convinced me to check out this new season because
it's very thoughtful. It's very exciting. And
what are the zombies doing in this season?
Are
they in the air? Are they flying zombies?
Yeah,
zombies.
Wait, they actually, I was going to make a joke about how they have hot air balloon zombies, but they did have a spinoff of Fear of the Walking Dead called Flight 632 that was set on an airplane.
So wow.
So it was
I'm sick and tired of all these zombies.
Yeah, the next thing they're going to do is zombies in the center of the earth, which sounds awesome, right?
Nope.
Yeah. No. The thing that I'm actually really appreciating about this is backstage, Pete screamed at me and said, if you talk about Fear of the Walking Dead, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
And so far, I've been talking about it a whole lot.
Well, I said we wouldn't talk about it in Week in Geek. I didn't say anything about an opening bit.
Your rules are weird.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I also said I would murder you, and then I thought about your poor children, so I took it back.
Oh, my children that you like rolling around with a stick?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a safe game.
You don't know what the word safe means, but I'm very excited about our guest. That's not a good segue, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. She is a writer and a host of an amazing YouTube show called Loose Cannons. Ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Ellis!
Yes! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
Please, have a seat, have a microphone.
Good to see
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
Hello, thank you so much.
Hello.
And it's Loose Cannon, not Loose Cannon.
Cannon, like, Bible cannon.
All right, but when you ramp it up with the sequel, and it's like aliens to the alien, and there's a lot of them, you can call it Loose Cannon.
Yeah, exactly.
And technically, then I'd be right.
Then it will be about, like, groups of things instead of single characters.
So what is Loose Cannon without an S? What's the idea of the show for those who haven't seen it?
Well, it's like Loose Cannon without an S and only one N, because people tweet at me all the time with two N's. I'm like, no, it's like a play on words. But the basic premise is that I look over all the different pop culture iterations of the same character. So we'll look at, like, all the different versions of Queen Elizabeth I as she's appeared in, like, movies and TV shows. And the last one I did was Mystique, which was, a very long treatise on Jennifer Lawrence versus Rebecca Romijn.
Which side do you fall on, Rebecca Romijn or Jennifer Lawrence?
Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, smart.
Why, though? What's your main argument?
Well, mostly because Jennifer Lawrence doesn't want to be here. I mean, it's not that she's a bad actor, but she just really, like, especially in Apocalypse, she just wanted to go home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like Rebecca Romijn always gave it 110%.
Yeah. Did you include the comics at all, or was it focusing on
movies? Yeah. I mean, I tend to, like, I haven't done any DC characters yet because I the way I work is it'll be a multiple choice and it'll be like a theme. There will be, you know, like historical figures. It was between, it was Elizabeth, Richard Nixon, and, like, I don't know, Jack the Ripper. And for the last one, it was...
Very similar historical figures.
Yeah, it was villains that start with the letter M, so it was Magneto, Mystique, and Megatron.
Nice. Megatron
Mystique
lost.
Won. Yeah. Yeah, Megatron lost by a lot.
Wow.
Nobody ever... Like, I keep putting Transformers on there, and nobody ever wants me to do it.
I did see the Mystique video. I really liked it. I also, she included, like, the cartoon series as well as the comics, like, covered everything. It's really a fantastic video. You do a great job with it.
Yeah, I was kind of cheating because, like, you know, I was like, X-Men was my thing in high school, and because, like, a lot of times it'll be like a lot of research, but in this case it was
saying before the show though that with X-Men being your jam, Nightcrawler taught you something, right?
Oh yes. Well, initially, well, I mean, it's kind of like two layers of shame, because when I went into...
You're in a safe space here. It's just us and this audience and the audience and the audience listening at home, and that's it. All friends.
Safe nerd space here.
Well,
yes.
When I went to college, NYU has a language requirement, as do most liberal arts schools. And I went in there, and I was like, what's the most similar to Elvish? Obviously, it's Gaelic. So I spent 2.5 years in the Irish department learning Gaelic, and I ended up with an Irish minor, basically, because of Lord of the Rings. And then after that was done, I was like, well, you know, I need to fill out my thing to get my degree, need more credits, learn another language. So obviously I went with German because of Nightcrawler. My German is not that great, but...
well, to be fair, neither is Nightcrawler, so I think it's probably okay.
Oh. Aww. Shots fired.
All right. Yeah, me and Nightcrawler are having a beef. It's like
you are.
West Coast thing.
I did do an episode on Nightcrawler too, because that was that was another easy one.
So what was
some of them are really difficult, but sometimes I do easy ones just because.
Well, as a fan though, what's your favorite incarnation of a Nightcrawler?
Ooh, it feels like a incarnation. I get besides the comics.
No.
Any.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on, like, who's... Because I've really been enjoying Amazing X-Men. Like, I feel like Amazing X-Men has kind of struck this balance between, like, it's fun and adventure-y and feels topical, but isn't, like, portentous and dour like some Grant Morrisons have made X-Men in the past, so...
Where does Jake Gyllenhaal rank in there?
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, in Nightcrawler.
Well,
poor
you
Jake.
Don't have to actually.
No, answer. I was just like, I was the only like film snob that didn't like that movie, so I don't know how to cleverly answer
right,
this. I was like,
totally cool. Well, let's move on. I'm going to throw you under the bus a little bit because you already expressed you're not really a DC fan.
No, I'm sorry.
But we do have something to try out. So I think you're a human being who likes to eat stuff, so you'll be able to weigh in on this.
Calories to survive.
but we got a shipment from Jelly Belly of superhero mix.
Some of the huge perks of this gig.
I'm sorry. I love jelly beans. I was so excited about this.
I could just picture you being like, I love jelly beans.
I could not answer that email fast enough. but so this is a Jelly Belly superhero mix. There's Wonder Woman, there's Superman, and there's Batman. But here's the thing. This is the thing that I found out just before the show that's a little disappointing. They're all... Oh, you're just going to take the Batman?
I'm taking Batman, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. They're all the same. Like, they're not
yeah,
a separate...
Yeah, there's no difference in...
Yeah, it says Wonder Woman superhero mix, but it's not like there's lasso
flavor.
Well,
no, the bag is the same. There's a variation of flavors in the bag.
Right.
But the beans that are in each bag, it's not like
exactly.
Wonder Woman gets a special... I guess because they didn't want it to make it look like they were favoring any one hero with the better flavors.
It's disappointing to me because I
would think it would be different mixes. Like,
Like
Batman's would be a darker mix. You know.
Yeah, Superman could have apple pie, or they could all be very bland, I guess.
Superman's never smiles.
Yeah, and if when you, and Wonder Woman's all have a very complicated history. But they actually are sparkling berry blue, sparkling blueberry, sparkling cream soda, sparkling sour lemon, sparkling very cherry, and sparkling wild blackberry.
So they just added the word sparkling, and we're like, superhero mix.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you think about comic books or superheroes, you think about sparkling things,
you
right?
You do think sparkly. Yeah.
So, would you prefer Superman or Wonder Woman? Your choice.
Wonder Woman.
All right.
Great.
I didn't want to.
Kind of question.
Not even a question.
So let's try them, I guess.
Yeah,
this is very exciting for the audience, but we'll pass them out to you guys.
I'm disappointed that the popcorn flavor isn't in here. Does anyone remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
guys, I'm going with the sparkling sour lemon.
How is it?
It was great.
I mean, I'm going with.
It's. I mean, the thing is, it's still jelly beans, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're not losing.
Sparkling wild blackberry. It tastes like Superman got me a blackberry from the other side of the world.
Sparkling cream soda seems kind of redundant because cream soda is already sparkling, but it's actually delightful.
Yeah, it's very light.
This one is one of my favorite. It's sparkling berry blue. I'm a big fan of flavors that are like, that's not a flavor. Mm-hmm. Berry blue, that's a color.
Because there's berry blue and then there's blueberry. Yeah.
Well, tastes like really blue. Good.
Yeah, it tastes.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like the blue part of those firecracker popsicles. Mm-hmm.
If I'm listening to this at home, I'm kind of pissed. Like, okay, guys.
Well, nah, I'm like, there's like you in the audience. I'm like, I'm having fun.
Here's my suggestion: if you're listening to it at home, let's say you're listening on your headphones or something like that, take one of the headphones off and lick them. See if it tastes like jelly beans. We'll see what happens. Before we give this out to the audience, let them try it. Of the ones you guys have tried so far, which do you think is the most superheroic?
I'm going to go with sparkling berry cherry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm having that now. It's a very bold flavor, just like superheroes in comic books.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with the sparkling cream soda is indicative of Wonder Woman because it is powerful yet compassionate.
Yeah. And for Superman, I just ate the bag because that was the blandest thing I could find.
Yeah.
For Superman, I had a really badly edited bag that didn't make sense structurally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To properly eat the Superman jelly beans, you have to snap your neck just like that.
I gotta say,
it's like,
sparkling blueberry is very much like Batman because it's a little sad when you eat it.
Right, does it kill people willy-nilly, though?
What's that?
Does it kill people willy-nilly?
Yeah, just, you know, sometimes if it has...
The murder bag.
Here you go. Enjoy, guys. Enjoy. We did. Yeah, please
enjoy,
do.
Enjoy the jelly beans. Thank you to Jelly Belly also for the jelly beans.
Yeah, thanks, Jelly Belly. Those are delicious.
Yeah, if you
make a good jelly bean.
I grabbed like some like go away jelly beans. Of course, are my least favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Grabbed a handful of lemons. So.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe some of the audience will pass them back to.
Yeah,
Lindsay
I doubt it.
Try some.
No, okay.
Yeah, this audience, terrible people. Lindsay, what should people check out? What do you want to plug while
Thank
your
you,
mouth
sir.
Is
Thank you, sir. He brought it back.
Oh, amazing.
Oh,
what
man.
A wonderful man.
Oh, man.
What a lovely audience member.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you can't see this because I'm making the worst face because I just ate a handful of lemon jelly beans. I like that you asked me that question now when I'm just like...
Tell us your deepest, darkest secret, quick, all of them.
I liked The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad secret. All right, plug.
Wait, what did you say?
Nothing. Plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Mostly you want to check out my YouTube series. I do Loose Canon, which is the thing where I look at the different version of the same character.
It's like very enjoyable.
All
check
your favorite
out.
Star screams. And also, I do video essays, and I write for various nerd and pop culture sites, and that's kind of what to do.
All right, very cool. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
We like to call it that. And in the stack, we're going to go to bat for a couple of books that we particularly like this week. Let's kick it.
What happened?
What
did we miss?
Yeah. Sorry, I just took a drink of beer after those Jelly Bellies, and I do not recommend it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well,
beer and belly don't mix.
Yes, jelly beans for kids. Surprisingly, not.
It's
don't
like
mix
if
well
they
beer.
Carbonated cardboard.
You wouldn't say jelly beans are just for kids, though.
Supergirl number one. Let's move on to something for adults, comic books.
Yeah.
Supergirl number one from DC Comics. I'm going to pass it over to you. But Pete, you were a big fan of this book. Want to talk about it?
Yeah. I kind of feel like a little bit of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's just somebody who doesn't, I've read comics my whole life, but like I really enjoy the TV show. So when I saw they were starting with number one, I was kind of like, you know what? Let me go back. Supergirl has never been one of my favorites, but I really thought this was a great first issue. I also really appreciated the fact that related to the TV show a little bit. Had some nods, which I think was smart on their part, and because this show is...
Oh, is this Kat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Kat. So the way that it works, this is always...
I do enjoy the show.
What, cool. Do you like the show?
Yeah, I like the show.
Then you might like this book. It's always very weird to me when they do this thing where it's not the same as the TV show, but kind of like the TV show, so it fits into continuity. Mm-hmm. Here, they've had the Supergirl comic for a couple of years now. She was a little different. She was this angry alien when she landed. First thing she did was got into a fight with Superman. Was very antagonistic with most of the world. But here they're adding some of the characters back in. Like they have Cat Grant to the book, but she's not necessarily Kara's boss. Kara is a student. Her parents are still alive, and they're kind of the parents from the show, mm-hmm. but they're the ones running the DEO rather than her sister. So it's all like a little bit off of the show, but right. enough so that you feel it's kind of like the show, mm-hmm. Which is strange. I think that was my problem with
I think it's a great choice because that way it's like we take some things that you like, but also we're going to make some different choices with it so it's not the same thing. Because I don't want to read the comic book, and if that's the same as the TV show, I only have to do one of them.
Well, except, I don't know if you read this, DC digitally released a book called Adventures of Supergirl by Sterling Gates. Uh-huh. It was great. It was excellent. You can still find it digitally. It's pretty cheap. And that was in continuity with the show. It showed some other adventures she was going on. And it never felt like it was holding back. Like it added information to the characters. It had a huge story arc, new villains, and it was really, really good.
Cool.
And if anything, that's probably coloring my feelings about this book a little bit.
Yeah, I think you like that so much. You almost weren't opened yourself up for this completely, you know? Like you kind of were like...
Oh, I got to open my heart?
Yeah, you didn't open your heart to this. You didn't give it a chance.
All right, I'll open my heart.
You know, you let your past relationships really affect this year, and you know, I think it's...
What are you referring to?
I don't know what I'm referring to.
All right. So you're a fan of the show.
It's like how I ate that jelly bean and then the beer, which I normally like, tasted mm-hmm. terrible.
Yeah. Oh, that is a really good metaphor, actually. I like that a lot. Looking forward... So you're a fan of Supergirl, the TV show. How are you feeling about Cat Grant kind of being sidelined in season two?
Is that the CW thing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised because Calista Flockhart costs more. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of all the points.
Well, because you're
going to
bring Superman on, mm-hmm. you can't have, it's like you're going to waste a lot of money on CG stuff
for
him
that
flying
actor,
around.
You know, I think the thing is, like, CG these days doesn't cost as much as name actors, so it's not terrible. I mean,
So mixed.
I haven't started the CW season yet, so.
Okay, so you feel sort of, would you say, beer and jelly beans about it?
I feel like, I don't know, I kind of work in film sometimes and everything comes down to budget. So I look at stuff like that and I can't even be like, oh, that thing I liked. I'm like, the budget. Yes, of course. But I'm honestly glad they didn't get rid of her altogether because that's kind of what I expected.
Yeah, I'm glad they worked something out. But that relationship, if you haven't watched the show, between Calista Flockhart's character and Melissa Benoist's character is the heart of the show.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's great. Cool. Let's move on to another pick. Daredevil 11 from Marvel Comics.
Woohoo!
Hooray! Pete, you want to talk about this one at all?
Sure, yeah.
Great.
We have Daredevil looking into this bad guy who is making paintings with people's blood. And they had the cops do a bunch of analysis, and there's a whole lot of different people's blood on there. Some of it is political related. Some of it has to do with crime.
So he's like Jack the Ripper Banksy.
Yeah, exactly. you got the big reveal. It's been building up a couple issues. You finally got to meet that supervillain, which can sometimes be a really huge letdown because it's built up like, who's this bad guy? What's it going to look like? And sometimes they make a choice. You're like, oh, my head, it was better. But this was a great reveal. I really liked how the villain looks. I also, he had an emotional, it was so crazy because normally I really love action in comics. A lot of action, violence, all that kind of fun stuff. But, well, I, you know, it's fun in a comic book world where it's safe and where it can
be contained.
Yeah,
that's definitely what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. But I just, like, to me, the most, like, amazing, painful stuff was him and Foggy sitting down for coffee.
You
I was hanging on every word. I couldn't believe it.
You love Foggy. You love Foggy
so
much.
And even in this, Daredevil has the nerve to say, I don't know why we bother. He's just my oldest friend. Why do I even meet up with him? I'm like, you piece of shit. He fucking dragged you out of so many situations, carried you on his fucking back. You know, you were, like, dead in an alley. He went and got you. He covered for you at work. He did all this shit, and you can't even meet him for fucking coffee?
Okay, but now what are you talking about, really?
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's upsetting that Daredevil can't fucking take time for his friend who carried him for years.
Yeah, I've had friends like that, too. It's okay. I really...
Are you talking about Justin?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm talking about Foggy... And Daredevil.
I don't believe you. This book is...
It doesn't bother you at all? You don't think that... You don't think it's weird?
What? That they're having trouble in the relationship?
No, that the fact that he's very dismissive of his old friend. That
he's not being dismissive.
He says, why do I even bother?
He's saying, why does he even bother? Because Foggy is being so cold and distant from him, and
yeah,
he
I
can't
wonder why
connect
that
to
is. Because he shut him out of his life, that's why.
Maybe if somebody was constantly interrupting the other person's point, they eventually might be...
Shut up!
...put off about...
Oh!
So, Daredevil 11 is great book, totally agree with Pete. Have you been reading Daredevil at all? Are you a Daredevil fan?
No. I mean, I like the Netflix series. I've never liked Daredevil before that, so.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're like Lindsay and haven't been picking this up, the idea is that Matt somehow got his secret identity back. He had lost it for a very long time. We don't really know. That's not really the point. But he's working now for the DA's office, so traditionally he's always been somebody who works with bad guys, right? So now he's actually trying to be on the side of good. So again, he's back to the status quo of balancing being a lawyer, trying to maintain his friendships, trying to maintain his relationships, but also going through these crazy crimes in Hell's Kitchen. And like Pete said, the reveal of the villain at the end, I believe Ron Garney designed this villain. It's awesome. Yeah. It's so good. And when you get to that page, it feels like, oh, here's a new classic Daredevil villain.
Yeah.
Which is something that we haven't gotten in a very, very long time. It's really
exciting. And also just like the fact of like how it builds up to that. Like I just love the inner dialogue that Daredevil was having. It just, the art, amazing, so well written. Yeah. Charles Soule is killing it, and Garney is also killing it.
He is. All right, let's move on with our next pick, Batman number 6, also from DC Comics. Pass it over to you. Pete, I turn it to you to talk about Batman number 6.
Well, this was an emotional issue.
Wow, you're getting very emotional this week.
Just like the Daredevil before this. But no, this, I thought, you know, a lot of times in Batman comics, he relies on being an amazing detective, and in this rare occasion, Batman was actually vulnerable and honest, and like he knew the only way he could really get to this person who was maybe kind of like losing it a little bit, that if he like really kind of revealed himself, and it was a very powerful moment, and I thought really well done. We have someone who wants to be a superhero and her brother died and she's kind of struggling with that. And so Batman, I kind of feel like I'm spoiling, but I'm trying not to. But it was just a fantastic kind of like last page, powerful moment.
I agree. I haven't known how to feel exactly about this Batman. It's so different. For those of you who have been reading it for a while, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo were on the title for a really, really long time telling this story about Batman and his relationship to Gotham City and how they were tied together and all of these things. And then Tom King and Ivan Reis have come on, and it's totally different. And it is more emotional. It's been about these two superheroes, almost Superman-like, who are essentially ruined by Gotham.
Yeah.
And Batman has to deal with that. And Batman almost is a supporting character in the book, is the surprising thing. This is the emotional coda here, and it's wonderful. So I don't know where this title is going from here, but at least this first arc, these first six issues, has been great.
Really great. And it is such a cool idea to kind of look at. You know, they talk about how tough Gotham is, and you really get to see it, you know, and it's just really well done.
How do you think you would do in Gotham?
Oh, man, I would do great in Gotham.
Would you?
I would have a comic book talk show. I don't know. It seems like an awful place, but yet for some reason it is always packed with people. I mean, at one point, wouldn't you say, like, we need to move away? Like, all these supervillains keep poisoning the water or having these weird parades where the balloons have gas in them and we can all die. Like,
yeah, but that's where the industry is.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's like, if you're going to make it in the industry, you gotta stick around, yeah. Endure yeah. the, like, square miles of literal asylum. Yeah. How many, yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, what else are you going to do? Gotta live in Gotham. Cool. Last one we're going to talk about. This is a pick of mine. Glitter Bomb, number one from Image Comics. Yeah. So I'm even hesitant to say anything about this book, really, other than I didn't know what to think coming in. It's written by Jim Zub, who's one of our Great. Favorites here on the show. Yep. And by the second page, I was laughing and my jaw dropped. Because it's crazy. Is it all right if I spoil it?
Please.
Okay, so if you don't want to hear spoilers for it...
I can't believe you laughed at this.
Oh, my God, it's crazy. So it's this very typical scene of a woman talking to a casting agent, and over the course of the page, she's just like, listen, you're a little too old for this job. We want somebody younger, but I want you to dazzle me. You got to tell me why you're right for this job. We're looking for an entertainer, and goes through all these like very typical Hollywood things, and it's just is the sleaziest, grossest person in the world over the course of about 8 different panels, and you flip the page, and the next page is the woman sitting there just taking this long barbed tongue and shooting it through his head and killing him.
And you thought that was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was very surprising and funny. And then it cuts to the next page, and she's like, oh, no, it happened again.
And she goes, it happened again.
It happened again. And then it flashes back, and it shows what happened to her. And it takes her through this very realistic audition process. We see her life as an actress and how she ended up with this thing. We don't know exactly what this thing is yet. Yeah. It's a very simple, straightforward metaphor, but I thought it was very funny, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Pete, you did not.
Well, no, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. I didn't laugh out loud at the murder. But
that's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
Yeah, that's true. I did agree with it. People like that should die horrible deaths. What? No. But I just think that it was very interesting because it's called Glitter Bomb, right? So I'm like, okay. I think I know what this title's about, but nope, there's nothing about this book that has to do with anything.
Glitter or bombs?
Yeah. And so I was like, this is like a grape nut situation. And it was eating at me a little bit. So I don't think I could really enjoy the comic as much as I wanted to.
Hey, guys, we have a grape nut situation over here. Can you send some people in? There's a
grape nut situation, aisle 3. I think, like you were saying with the Supergirl book, I was kind of caught up in what I thought the comic would be, or was trying to steer it that way instead of just enjoying it for what it was. But yeah, I'm very much on board. I thought it was really solid first issue. The art is fantastic. You very much are rooting for the main character, and I think it's great.
Cool. Lindsay, if you had the power to kill people on auditions, would you use it, do you think?
Do we really want to go down this rabbit hole?
Yes. Please.
That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Woo-hoo.
Yay. And all you have to do for your audience questions is ask anything. Absolutely anything. Could be something for our amazing guest, Lindsay. Could be something about comic books or generally for us. And you're going to get some free comic books just for asking. So all you have to do is raise your hand, get some free comic books by asking a question. That's it. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question? Oh, and you're going to have to come up here because this mic cord is short.
Kevin, Lindsay, of the characters you've looked at, or even the ones you haven't got to yet, is there one that you think has the most wildly disparate, I mean, most unlike each other iterations that you absolutely adore, just like adore both ends?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking
good question.
That. I think Hitler is definitely up there. And I'm kind of surprised that, like, because I had Hitler. No, that was it. It was Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, Richard Nixon, and Hitler. And Hitler lost to Queen Elizabeth, which surprised me. Nixon also. Because I feel like in that regard, it's usually people who actually existed with the that have the most giant. Also, Queen Elizabeth II is another who, you know, I was about to say Hillary Clinton, but that's not honestly true. I've been looking at a lot of Hillary Clintons lately. Yeah, it tends to, yeah. Sorry, I really gotta have to think about that one. Let's come back to that.
Yeah, Hitler's a good answer, though. I think you probably stick with that. Cool, let's get another question. Absolutely anybody, about anything? You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Nick. So Fox today, the movie studio, said that they bought the rights to Stan Lee's life, or his life rights.
I saw that.
And that instead of doing a biopic, they're going to do Roger Moore as James Bond-style spy thriller with Stan Lee as the lead. Who should play Stan Lee?
Wow. You really took us on a journey with that question, man.
I mean, obviously, Stan Lee should play Stan Lee, right? I had read about that. That, to me, seems crazy because that's like, that's Stan Lee being like, this is how my life really is. This is my true story.
Yes, I came up with that character. I didn't steal it.
What do you guys think about this? Are you into this project, and who should play Stan Lee?
Seeing a young Richard Dreyfuss. You know, someone with some range.
Yeah. I will say the first thing that I thought of when I heard this news, there was a poster passed around on the internet. Somebody photoshopped together of Bryan Cranston as Stan Lee in the Stan Lee story.
Again, someone with some range.
Yeah, exactly. And it looked great, and people were like, wow, they should make this into a movie. And I have to imagine that people are like, that should be a movie. And then went in and were like, we're going to pitch this poster that somebody put on Twitter. And they're like, we bought it for $1 million.
Oh,
and that's basically the story of how the movie happened.
Bruce Campbell. Bruce Ooh. Campbell.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What do you think, Pete? Who should play Stan Lee in the movie?
No idea. Steve Buscemi? I don't know. I just think...
It sounds like maybe you do have an idea.
Well, I just feel that, like, it would be great to, you know, hear a story, sure, but I don't know about making him a secret agent. I mean, because if you want to just make, like, hey, Stan Lee's the greatest, great, that's a fun movie. But if we're talking about, like, I also would like to see a bio... you know, of like what happened in the magical days where he was sitting around being like, I'm going to invent this.
Well, that's the thing that I think is kind of weird about it.
He looked angry.
There's a lot of controversy. It's not something you want to make a movie about.
I created it in a void. Yeah. There's so much that went around him and so much controversy and so many interesting stories and deep tragedy around his creation of the Marvel Universe. I feel like I would rather see just a straightforward Stan Lee movie rather than something where it's like, I'm creating the Fantastic Four and also driving in a fast car. Whee!
Yeah, I feel like best case scenario for a straight Stan Lee movie would be look like Saving Mr. Banks, and it would kind of have to be like that kind of fluffy propaganda piece, or else it's going to go really far in the other direction.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. It would be very interesting if they actually honestly dealt with it and talked about it. I would love to be like, this is what he said, this is what we're thinking, like, it could have, you know, like...
Yeah, or it could be a spy thriller where he tries to rob all of Jack Kirby's ideas.
Starring Bryan Cranston.
Cool, you're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question. Absolutely anything. You, sir, I saw your hand shoot up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Ryan. My question, no offense, but what's your fucking problem with Nightcrawler, man? He's the most incredible X-Men character of all time. And why do you think he hasn't gotten... no offense, really, I love this show. This why do you think he hasn't gotten his due diligence as well?
Well, honestly, it's because this is my personal theory, is because the thing off which all X-Men media was based is really, it's not the comics, it's the cartoon that came out in 1992, 1993. And at that time, Nightcrawler was not with the X-Men, he was with Excalibur. And it sort of like created this domino effect of like Nightcrawler being like, he was one of the seminal X-Men, at least as much as Wolverine. You know, he was with the X-Men from like, was it 1973 to 1988-ish, 89, whenever Excalibur formed. And then that lasted another, like basically until the mid-90s. And during that time was when all the like spinoffs were happening. And so I feel like Jubilee kind of got an inflated role, and so did Gambit, and you know, ultimately kind of like cascaded back into the comics and back into other media. But I think ultimately, like, the fact that the early 90s cartoon is the basis for all X-Men media is why.
Wow.
And to
awesome.
Answer your first question, I'm not a huge
We're
Jake
all wrong
Gyllenhaal
sometimes.
Fan. That's the thing. Like, I'm not a huge Jake Gyllenhaal fan.
Really?
He's okay. Like, he's good to watch, but I just don't think he has the magnetism to hold the screen.
Dude,
I
fuck
hope that
you,
answers
man.
I can respect that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lindsay.
I love Nightcrawler. I think he's one of the, definitely top two or three X-Men.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we're talking about the video game, the best person to be in that X-Men arcade game, I think you jump all the way across. You could kill guys
Wait,
all the way across.
You would play Nightcrawler in that game?
Yeah.
I would always be the Sentinel.
What?
Yeah, the Sentinel. Maybe we're thinking about different games.
Yeah, you couldn't be the Sentinel.
You think X-Men Legends and X-Men Legends 2?
I'm talking about the arcade game where you had quarters in and... Like, it was that giant, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles style where each picked a player. You couldn't be...
Wait, was it the Street Fighter style one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be the Sentinel.
No, you couldn't.
Sure. Can somebody back me up on this? Did I imagine...
I think he's talking the
Am
six...
I thinking of Marvel versus Capcom?
Marvel versus Capcom.
Okay, I'm thinking of Marvel versus Capcom.
That makes
Capcom.
A lot more
okay.
sense.
Sorry, you guys.
Yeah, it's like, because you had the story, you had to go through all the different boards and stuff.
Yeah,
you
we
weren't fighting
had...
each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I put a freshman year of college. I put a lot of quarters in Marvel versus Capcom. I guess.
Oh, nice.
Who would you play in the X-Men game?
Well, I mean, I never played the arcade games. I'm youngish, right?
Okay.
I'm totally less than 30. I played X-Men Legends, but that's a group game. Like, oh my god! I mean, this my college roommate is here, and she can tell
Woo!
You how many Woo. Weeks of class I was sick. For because but I remember that being a group game. I remember, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Pokemon. You kind of have to like play to like different types of strengths, you know. So you want Storm do the electric and Wolverine be the brutal and Nightcrawler like zips around.
Wow.
Depending on who you're fighting, so it's strategic like that. But can we just say that like the reason people like Nightcrawler, and it's okay, we're all wrong sometimes, is because Nightcrawler kind of embodies the like what we all wish we were, you know, like. I am something that society finds despicable, but I'm going to make the best of it and be nice to everybody. And, you know, you don't see that a lot. You know, usually it tends to be like, especially lately, like the anti-hero, like I'm going to be a jerk.
There we go. I hope that answered your question. I think we can take one more, right, Pete? All right, one more question. Whoop, there we go. All right, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Brandon, and I'll be honest, I'm slightly out of the loop. Partially for financial reasons, but also everything's gotten just so far away from where I was when I was a kid. And I was just wondering how much of what's going on today do you think is still going to be the case in 5 years, 10 years? Is the new 15-year-old Black Iron Man still going to be, Black Girl Iron Man, still going to be the smartest one in the Marvel U, especially if... Marvel gets the rights from Fantastic Four back from Sony. Is Captain America going to remain a member of Hydra? Is Superman going to be, you know, leave it to Beaver raising a kid in 5 to 10 years? How much is permanent?
Well, I think there's two answers to all, pretty much everything you brought up, no, not in 5 to 10 years. But it varies, you know. I think something like Miss Marvel is going to be around forever at this point. That's a character that is going to last and last and last and last. The other ones, we'll have to wait and see how much a part of continuity they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Captain America absolutely is not going to be Hydra forever. The whole story the whole story is why he is Hydra and how he became Hydra and how he gets out of that. You know, that's not going to be 15 years from now. People are going to be like, I love that Nazi. That's my favorite Nazi character. That's just not something that's going to happen. Even Sam Wilson as Captain America, that probably won't last, but... Just because it doesn't last, A, doesn't mean it's not a good story that's worthwhile telling, and B, doesn't mean that it won't affect somebody later on down the road. You know, everybody who's going to be writing comics in 15 to 20 years is a kid, not everybody, but there's a lot of kids reading comics right now who are going to read this stuff. Sam Wilson as Captain America is going to go away, and then they're going to end up writing for Marvel in 20 years and be like, you know what would be awesome? What if we brought back Sam Wilson as Captain America? And they're going to tell another great story about that. So nothing is permanent in comics. Everything constantly changes and is in flux and returns to its status quo and then changes and back and forth. But that also doesn't mean that it doesn't matter and isn't vital happening right now. That's my two cents. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard to be a fan of comics because of the constant change, you know? There's a lot of stuff that you get very excited about. There's other stuff that feels like they're personally attacking you and your family. But, you know, it's just one of those things.
You're literally only talking about Foggy Nelson storylines.
I'm not just talking about Foggy Nelson.
I think you're just talking about
Foggy. No, I'm also talking about Mary Jane and Peter Parker. Yeah, I mean, that's also very upsetting. Okay. Or the Frankencastle bullshit. I mean, I could go on.
Let's stop. But let it go.
Never.
Frankencastle.
This is when...
Don't look it up. Do not look that up.
So this is a great storyline by Rick Remender where...
Don't know.
Well, I'm just going to tell them.
No.
It'll be like the Fear of the Walking Dead thing we did at the top of the show where you said, I talked about it anyway. So... I'm trying to help our audience member here.
He doesn't really want to know.
Here's my question is, do you hate our audience members? Do you like our audience members?
Oh, man, that's fucking brutal.
All right. So, Frankencastle, Punisher gets killed. He gets his head chopped off by Dokken, Wolverine's son, and gets chopped into bits. And then he gets sewed back together as a Frankenstein-style monster and ends up living with a bunch of monsters and werewolves and vampires.
He lives in the sewers. He's in a Monsterville.
It's
fucking
awesome.
He grows a big heart, and he becomes a sensitive monster.
Right. And that's something that lasted forever. He's still Frankencastle, right, dude?
It's awful.
Yeah.
It seems like it lasts forever because you keep bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that's happened in the last 20 years that's actually stuck. You know? I think the only thing I can think of offhand is there's Ms. Marvel and Emma Frost being in charge of the X school. And I'm just like, everything else kind of tends to revert back to some sort of popular equilibrium, with possibly the exception of Miles Morales. I guess time will tell.
And then
with
I would say Charles Xavier down.
Somebody's going to reverse
that. He did. He's dead right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's dead right now.
She's been dead since 2000. Oh,
Jean Grey is dead, but a younger Jean Grey from an alternate past timeline is back.
No, yeah. but then they rebooted the everything, right?
Did they?
Yeah. She's quietly been. Of them have been quietly.
I mean, even Xavier. Xavier's been dead for a while, but he's going to come back.
The new 52 of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But I think the interesting thing now that we're seeing more and more, and I think for the most part, you look at the late 80s, it was like, is Magneto always going to be in charge of the Xavier school? And it's like, no. But I think the interesting thing we're seeing now is as we go further in time, it becomes less and less costly to cater to more and more niches. So we see more and more versions. So it's like even if the main version is, I don't even know her name, new Iron Man lady girl, mm-hmm. There are going to be an increasing number. And so the main one, what is the main one, is going to become blurrier and blurrier as there are more different types of media that we see. So, I mean, I think that's going to be where the future goes, is we're not really going to know which one is the main one.
Right. It's like Spider-Man right now. I'm really enjoying Spidey right now. So that's became my main Spider-Man.
Are you Spider-Gwen?
Yeah, or Spider-Gwen.
For the ladies.
Yeah.
For the ladies.
But, I mean, just to put a cap on this and talk about how circular things are, Deadpool wasn't that popular when he was first introduced, but now huge.
No, Deadpool didn't become, like, really a thing until, like, 2008.
Right, exactly.
And even then, it was sort of just, like, because cons, he became such a popular character to cosplay, yeah. And then it sort of reverberated back into the media, and then... You know, Ryan Reynolds got a hold of it and wouldn't let it go. So, yeah, it
bless
is.
Bless him. Bless his heart.
Yes,
I mean,
know,
that
right?
Movie was
bless his beautiful he changed heart. So much
yeah.
single-handedly with his stubbornness. I mean, bless
well,
you, Ryan
that,
Reynolds.
And also, I mean, to point out another movie character at this point, Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn's gone through so many iterations and so many different versions at this point. There's no real version. Like, I prefer the Batman the Animated Series version.
Yeah,
because
that's the best
general,
one.
Yes, it is the best one.
Mr.
But
J.
There's so many different... ways of presenting that character, and none are wrong. It's just whatever you like the best. I don't know. There you go.
Cool.
All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
We did it. All right, very quickly, we're going to move to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Great.
And to the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things in the world of movies and TV. Let's kick it off. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. They released an X-Men deleted scene. Lindsay, you're a fan of this. The X-Men. What do you think about the scene?
Well, I like Bryan Singer's X-Men more. And I feel like even though Apocalypse was easily the weakest of his three, four now, you know, it was still just, you know, it wasn't hollow like, you know, something like The Last Stand is, arguably. I mean, it's okay if you're into that. But
nobody's into that.
I mean, even it's just like, it was like a fun scene. And I feel like that's one thing that's been really missing from the X movies has been levity. And what I found interesting about it was the fact that, like, especially with Nightcrawler, they were kind of pushing this, like, wow, they're not afraid of us. It's cool now. And I feel like that was supposed to tie in more with Mystique, like, trying to come to terms with the fact that she changed history and kind of make things better for mutants by not killing Peter Dinklage. And therefore, you know, this new timeline is more accepting, which is a totally far cry from the original, you know, X-Men 1, X-Men 2. And I you know, since, you know, this has always been Bryan Singer's not-so-subtle gay allegory, I kind of wonder if this is, like, sort of almost an answer, like, well, this is what we are in now. It's not so bad anymore. And that, you know, we have evolved. And I thought that was interesting. And I feel like there was a little bit of growth that is ultimately missing from the final product.
Yeah.
I can see why they cut it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it probably...
It's a scene, just to describe it real quick, it's they go to the mall, right?
Yeah, they go to the mall and hang out. And then nothing bad happens, and it's fun.
That's it. If you remember the movie at all,
but you kind of also got that in the when they're driving back and they all have ice
that
cream.
That was so, like, frustrating to me though, where they made this big deal in the movie where they're like, "Come on, we got to sneak out of the school and do
something
fun." Because
they
do
that in the comics and the TV show. They would go to the mall.
Imagine if I was like, Pete, I'm going to go do this amazing thing. And you're like, okay, that sounds great. And then I disappeared for 5 days and came back with, like, well,
look,
I did
it. You know,
it
kind of reminds me of the, in Ghostbusters 2016, where, you know, they set up, like, what's obviously a dance number, you know, with everybody kind of, like, being like, you know, and then it doesn't happen. And then it happens in the credits. And it's just sort of like, okay, I'm sure there was a very good reason for this, but it just comes off so obvious that this very large thing was cut.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. It felt very weird to me not being in the movie, and I would have appreciated more moments of levity like that. I think that would have been nice.
I mean, I
you also are not a fan of X-Men baseball games, so
yeah, I don't need to watch X-Men go to the mall. I don't need
I
to
do.
Watch X-Men shopping. I want to watch X-Men Saving the Day.
What
Johnny
do they
Rose.
Buy? What stores do they go to?
Oh, it's driving me crazy.
What do they eat at the food court?
Oh.
I want to know.
Can Nightcrawler shop at the Foot Locker?
Really good question. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Another piece of news. This broke late last week, but Joe Manganiello is officially going to be Deathstroke in Ben Affleck's Batman movie. That's what that weird footage that Ben Affleck released the other week was. What do you think? Are you excited about this, Lindsay?
Imagining just like pecs versus pecs.
Rubbing against each other.
This is just going to be the oiliest, especially if Zack Snyder's involved, just like the oiliest Batman movie to date. I mean, finally, there might be something to enjoy about it.
Yeah.
They'll probably bring the nipples back for the suit for this. Like,
You know, Honestly, the Zack Snyder tenure has really made me reevaluate my position on the Joel Schumacher era. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Wow.
That's totally fair. Last thing before we go, new episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
What are you talking about?
That's it for the Week of Geek. Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Yes, you first-hand up guy. Come on down. Opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you'd go to a comic book shop.
Of course.
All right, so today's trivia is on Loose Cannon, her show that I highly recommend. And if you were paying attention...
Sorry, I didn't know.
If you were paying attention at all during the show, especially in the beginning, then you'll get all these questions right. So, question number one. I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25. All right, here we go. What is Loose Cannon? Is it A, a video show comparing different interpretations of characters who've been popular enough to varying iterations across media? B, a video show about crazy characters and their shenanigans. Play on Loose Cannon there. Or C, a video show about a bunch of kids in a van solving mysteries. So it's either A, which is the longest one, and as we all know from taking tests, the correct one.
A. Oh,
yes, nice job. Say the word A. Great. Question number two. What did Loose Cannon start as? Is it A, Lindsay Explains It All, B, Nostalgia Chick, or is it C, Jabberjaw the Spinoff? So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B.
B.
Yes! Originally it was Nostalgia Chick. Here we go. Last one. What is Loose Cannon's most popular video? Is it A, the video on death, B, the video on Mystique, or C, the video on Grape Ape? So it's either A, death,
A,
or it's B, Mystique. Yes, $25 free to you, sir.
Incredible.
Do we ask you your name? Did we say that? Did I forget?
It's Louis.
Louis, congratulations. $25 free.
All right. Thank you so much. Guys, if you have $25 to spend, I recommend you go to Midtown Comics. Yeah. Yeah. They're a great sponsor of the show, and they're also a great place to pick up new comic books, which come out tomorrow. What a huge coincidence.
I know.
Pete, if you were going to pick up a comic book, what would it be?
Just one?
Just one.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, I think you can.
I would say Wonder Woman number 6 and also Black Panther number 6.
Is that one issue?
No, but I made it sound like it is.
Okay,
I made it sound like it is, but it is two separate issues.
Cool, and just to check, even though I know what the answer is, anything additional to say about those comic books?
Nope.
Great. Okay,
they are fantastic.
Cool. That really wasn't an additional thing. Yeah. We got that from the fact it was your pick. Yeah. I'm looking forward to House of Penance number 6 is coming out from Dark Horse Comics. I'm imagining most of you haven't been picking up this book, but it is possibly the most gorgeous comic book that's come out this year.
Whoa, that is bold, sir.
It's stunning. It
the whole year. This is the best.
The whole year, yeah. It takes place in Mary Winchester's house, which she went a little crazy and started building all these additions, took in all of these criminals who wanted to pay penance to keep building the house.
Oh,
she
yeah.
believes that if you keep banging and banging and banging with the hammers, it'll keep spirits away. And there's one man who comes in towards the end who bonds with her on a very deep spiritual level because he also has felt loss and death and pain. And it deals with all of this with this very weird, strange red blood imagery growing throughout. I've read the last issue. It's stunning. Like, do not miss it. Pick up the last issue. Pick up the previous 5 issues. It's gorgeous. You won't regret it at all. It's great. There you go. And that's how you recommend a comic book. Lindsay, what are you looking forward to?
And Pete. I was also going to say Black Panther number 6.
Yeah. Well, do you want to say something about it?
That's one of the new Marvel titles that I actually have been keeping up with. And yeah. I'm a big fan of Ta-Nehisi Coates. And I guess I feel like a special connection to Black Panther's success. So Yeah, I have been enjoying the new Black Panther.
It's been absolutely phenomenal. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off at all, but just every issue has been, and he is really setting up this world. And he also did something that you don't see a lot in comics. Like when it's your turn to write, you just focus on your story. He like first paid homage to all of the stuff before him, which I thought was amazing that he took the time to do that and then started his story, which was pretty amazing.
It's great. And what else do you want to plug? I know you just plug your stuff, but anything else?
Oh, I think you guys have done a great job plugging my stuff, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. A couple of things we want to plug then before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have Alex Segura and Matt Rosenberg, who are doing Archie Meets the Ramones for, as you probably guessed, Archie are going to be here, so we're very excited about that. Always love having them on the show. Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost a little bit of money to do. So if you're physically in the space, we do have a literal hat over there you can throw some money in. Or if you want to throw in the virtual hat, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/comicbookclub, where you can get some free rewards. You can join the Comic Book Club Sticker Club, get some of our swag and many more rewards. So check that out. Couple of other things to plug. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, comicbookclublive.com, and Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Lindsay for being on the show.
Let's go!
Thank you guys for inviting me.
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Emma Bell, Tommy Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. On photo, we want to thank Louis DC. We want to thank Boothman Prime. To thank everybody here at the Pit, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 7:30, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.